We had news of a High Court judge calling for children's access to pornography being addressed at primary school level. Our reporter Josh Crosby, in the meantime, has been looking into the extent to which children under 18 consume explicit content. And Josh is with me now. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Pat.
Who'd you speak to on this issue?
Well, Pat, first off, when I started researching this, I did stop for a minute and I just thought to myself what it must be like for a child or a teenager growing up now when it comes to accessing porn with their smartphones, or I'm sure many of them have their own tablets as well. Like, it's not donkey's years since I was in school, but even still, camera phones, they were just coming onto the scene. And when porn was being discussed in a group, it was about a magazine on the top shelf of a newsagent's. So now it's the click of a button on your phone. Hundreds of different genres and categories are available. So the barrier of access has just slipped. And of course, the options for sourcing material has just exploded, as we know. But like, when we look around cafes or anywhere, children using smart devices are getting younger and younger, and with that, the people coming across such content is getting younger as well. NUI Galway research shows that around 60% of boys in Ireland start watching porn between the ages of 10 and 13, while girls are a few years older. So to hear from someone who is working with children every day, I spoke with the principal of Carlow Educate Together Primary School, Simon Lewis. Now, Simon is also the host of the If I Were the Minister for Education podcast. He says children can often get introduced to porn by not even searching for it.
In some ways, a lot of it, particularly for young boys, pornography or access to pornography kind of starts when they're playing explicit games. Pornography is part of that. And it's because it's based in the game, and because a lot of parents aren't actually aware of what children are playing. But some of the characters can be prostitutes who are offering, you know, sex to the character. So that, in a way, that is pornography they're accessing. And I suppose as they get older and they have more access, and they're actually looking at, you know, pornography as we would understand it, you know, again, that's getting younger and younger. Sometimes they don't understand what they're looking at. But again, third class, fourth class, we've certainly seen evidence of that, you know, well before they finish primary school.
And what other protections would you like to see being put in place to deter children from accessing porn?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things. I think at this point, maybe, you know, a decade ago, we could have excused the fact that people didn't know as much as they know. I think everybody now really knows that when a game or something that has an 18 certificate on it, that's not for your eight-year-old child. And I think we've known that for a long time, but I think things have become more explicit, really. We know that now. But I think on top of that, education, as always, is here to the rescue. We do have a very good curriculum in SPHE, our Social Personal Health Education Programme, where web safety is part of it. We have a programme called WebWise, which teachers can teach. I also think external speakers are very good for parents, mainly. I think we have to hit children from an education point of view, but also educate parents as well. So most schools, many schools, bring in speakers on internet safety. The thing is, we need to get to the parents that we need to get. Usually the parents that show up at these events are the ones we're not trying to reach. We want to get to everybody. So I think there's a lot of work to be done, and both of them involving education, both for adults and for children.
So that's Carlow Educate Together Primary School Principal Simon Lewis. Now, he talked there about the importance of bringing in external speakers to schools to talk about the different kinds of issues. Did you look into any of those setups?
Yes, Pat. So just before that clip, I mentioned the NUI Galway research on porn. Well, the School of Psychology at the university, it runs the Active Consent programme. Now, Active Consent, it holds workshops in secondary schools and colleges across the country, working with young people from 16 to 24 years of age. Now, I know that is older than the primary school age that we're talking about here, but those involved, they know from working with young people what many of the experiences are like for children. Dr. Kate Dawson is a sex educator and works on the Active Consent programme.
We know that, you know, people go to porn to learn about two things, really. One is genital and body image. If you think about it, you know, people don't really get the opportunity to see other people's genitals, so porn is a mechanism for them to see it. And the second will be sexual behavior. So for adults, or for teenagers, they might be watching porn to learn about, you know, how to do certain things. Whereas for children, they'll just be curious about what sex is. But besides from that, you know, if depending on the content that they see, they'll also be observing how people engage with one another, the roles that people ascribe to. You know, you often see like dominant men or passive women, and you might see a lot of rough sex as well. As adults, you know, we understand that that's a performance, you know, it's developed as a source of like adult entertainment. But for children, you know, they don't have this same point of reference for sex. This is particularly important when it comes to kind of educating people about what's realistic and not.
And with the work that you've done now, how damaging can it be for young people to be learning about sex through porn?
Porn is not damaging in isolation.
You know, someone might see porn that frightens them. But even if they see something really violent that they find, you know, it's even terrifying, for the most part, it's not going to change how they behave. But what it can do is reinforce existing dispositions. So if you're predisposed to violence or aggression, then watching, say, violent porn might come to normalizing these kind of behaviors. But you're also going to be more likely to choose to watch violent porn. Someone would have to have violent tendencies to replicate something violent that they see in a film, because a typically developing person, you know, will see these behaviors and know not to replicate them.
And that's Dr. Kate Dawson from NUIG's School of Psychology. Now, what about the young people themselves, Josh, or the parents who have to try to keep up with the technology? Did you talk to any of those?
I did, Pat. And everyone I spoke to, young adults, teenagers who were over 18, and parents, they all told me the same thing, just how easy it is for anyone to access seriously graphic content. I wanted to find out by those who've recently left school at what age they became aware of porn being shared around by their classmates.
It's so available. A lot of people I know, like early 10, 11, 12, so it's absolutely accessible to young people.
When you were under 18, you would have known people at the age of 10.
Absolutely, and like it would be a thing where people would bring it to school even and show it around.
Do you think there should be more controls by the providers to access it online in the first place? Or?
Yeah, there should at least be an attempt, because it feels right now that if it doesn't suit their business model, they don't really bother.
And when you were in school now, how young were people sharing porn?
Probably around maybe 14.
Do you worry about what your children are searching online?
I would, yeah, I would worry about what they're searching online. We would check, do spot checks on them, take the phone off them at 9 o'clock at night and give it back to them in the morning. But then they have it a lot of the time on their own as well, you know, so I do worry about it, yeah.
And have you had any experiences yourself where you've had to deal with a certain issue or they might be looking up something inappropriate for their age?
Maybe like more so with films and stuff online.
As two 19-year-olds, when you were under 18, were you aware of people in school getting access to porn?
Yeah, a lot of people were watching it and like showing it to their friends and stuff like that.
It'd all be like in group chats and stuff, like it'd just go around and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like not in a bad way, but it's mainly kind of like guys would kind of do it more than girls would.
And from what age would you have been aware that people were doing that?
Probably, I'd say about 13.
Yeah, I'd say like 6th class,
really young.
Like first year, yeah.
I was really
so
young
about
when it was
12,
happening.
13.
Yeah.
Even in primary school?
Yeah.
Do you think there should be more education around consent in schools, and should it maybe start at a younger age?
Yeah, I think it should start from the age of like literally like 5.
Kind of like
minds.
You're taught at a young age that, you know, that's not right and stuff, and yeah. I feel like it'd be way different then.
Some people on the streets of Dublin. So we know a lot of it comes down to education and, of course, supervision of children's online activity to find out what they're watching and try to stop the bad stuff from getting through to them. But for the parents listening, what advice do you have for them?
Yes, Pat, certainly. So it is all about education, well, most of it. But as we've been hearing a lot of it, the discussion around porn and how it's had. But for the parents who are wondering how to approach the subject or how often they should be monitoring their child's device, I spoke with Shane Dunphy, who's a child protection expert and head of the social care department at Waterford College of Further Education.
We are now living in a world where children are becoming sexualized and are becoming aware of sex much, much younger than they ever have before. The reason for this is the media. The reason for this is video games. The reason for this is even music. The difficulty, I think, for most children is at 8 or 9 years of age, you're encountering this with no context and with no filter. So you're seeing this and you're believing that this is a normal, healthy, average, acceptable way for people to interact with one another in an intimate way. You know, girls are looking at it thinking this is what I have to be, and boys are looking at it and thinking that this is what they should be expecting. That can be extremely damaging.
What would be the best way to educate children on consent? And does it need to be introduced at a younger age? Or like, what protections would you like to see in place to reduce this happening?
First of all, I do believe, and there are people out there who are going to disagree with me on that, I believe parents should be monitoring what their children are viewing online. I would say if they're very young, this needs to be done almost on a daily basis. You know, just if the child has the tablet, simply just every now and again asking, can I just have a look at what you're doing? And let the children know in advance that this is what you're going to be doing. Children need to be empowered to protect themselves. So we need to be informing them that if they are encountering this, first of all, that they shouldn't be accessing this material. However, you tell a child that they shouldn't do something, they're probably going to do it. If they are encountering this material, we need to be saying to them that this is not the way adults behave. We need to be saying to them that this is damaging. We need to be saying to them that this is exploitative. We need to be also talking to them about the fact that there's something we call body integrity. We're empowering children that if if somebody is asking them to enact some of the scenes that they're encountering on these websites, that it is absolutely okay to say no. And, you know, young people need to be told that if you request something and somebody says no, then that means no, and that they shouldn't be pressuring and haranguing and harassing them to do something that they're clearly saying that they don't want to do.
And that's Shane Dunphy, child protection expert and head of the social care department at Waterford College of Further Education.